Reluctantly, Shadow tore open the red wrapping paper to reveal a fawn-colored calfskin wallet, shiny from use. It was obviously somebody's wallet. Inside the wallet was a driver's license with Shadow's photograph on it, in the name of Michael Ainsell, with a Milwaukee address, a MasterCard for M. Ainsell, and 20 crisp $50 bills. Shadow closed the wallet, put it into an inside pocket.
Thanks.
Think of it as a Christmas bonus. Now let me walk you down to the Greyhound. I shall wave to you as you ride the Grey Dog north.
They walked outside the restaurant. Shadow found it hard to believe how much colder it had gotten in the last few hours. It felt too cold to snow now. Aggressively cold. This was a bad winter.
Hey, Wednesday. Both of the scams you were telling me about? The violin scam and the bishop one? The bishop and the cop?
He hesitated, trying to form his thought, to bring it into focus.
What of them?
Then he had it.
They're both two-man scams. One guy on each side. Did you used to have a partner?
Shadow's breath came in clouds. He promised himself that when he got to Lakeside, he would spend some of his Christmas bonus on the warmest, thickest winter coat that money could buy.
Yes. Yes, I had a partner, a junior partner. But alas, those days are gone. There's the gas station. And there, unless my eye deceives me, is the bus.
It was already signaling its turn into the parking lot.
Your address is on the key. If anyone asks, I am your uncle, and I shall be rejoicing in the unlikely name of Emerson Borson. Settle in Lakeside, nephew Ainsell. I'll come for you within the week. We shall be traveling together, visiting the people I have to visit. In the meantime, keep your head down and stay out of trouble.
My car?
I'll take good care of it. Have a good time in Lakeside,
said Wednesday. He thrust out his hand and Shadow took it. Wednesday's hand was colder than a corpse's.
Jesus, you're cold.
Then the sooner I am making the two-backed beast with the little hotsy-totsy lass from the restaurant in a back room of the Motel 6, the better.
And he reached out his other hand and squeezed Shadow's shoulder. Shadow experienced a dizzying moment of double vision. He saw the grizzled man facing him, squeezing his shoulder, but he saw something else. So many winters, hundreds and hundreds of winters, and a gray man in a broad-brimmed hat walking from settlement to settlement, leaning on his staff, staring in through windows at the firelight, at a joy and a burning life he would never be able to touch, never even be able to feel.
Go. All is well, and all is well, and all shall be well.
Shadow showed his ticket to the driver.
Hell of a day to be traveling,
she said, and then she added with a certain grim satisfaction,
Merry Christmas.
The bus was almost empty.
When will we get into Lakeside?
2 hours, maybe a bit more,
said the driver.
They say there's a cold snap coming.
She thumbed a switch and the doors closed with a hiss and a thump. Shadow walked halfway down the bus, put the seat back as far as it would go, and he started to think. The motion of the bus and the warmth combined to lull him, and before he was aware that he was becoming sleepy, he was asleep. In the earth and under the earth. The marks on the wall were the red of wet clay, handprints, finger marks, and here and there, crude representations of animals and people and birds. The fire still burned, and the buffalo man still sat on the other side of the fire, staring at Shadow with huge eyes, eyes like pools of dark mud. The buffalo lips, fringed with matted brown hair, did not move as the buffalo voice said,
Well, Shadow, do you believe yet?
I don't know,
said Shadow. His mouth had not moved either, he observed. Whatever words were passing between the two of them were not being spoken, not in any way that Shadow understood speech.
Are you real?
Believe,
said the buffalo man.
Are you a god, too?
The buffalo man reached one hand into the flames of the fire and he pulled out a burning brand. He held the brand in the middle. Blue and yellow flames licked his red hand, but they did not burn.
This is not a land for gods,
said the Buffalo Man. But it was not the Buffalo Man talking anymore, Shadow knew, in his dream. It was the fire speaking, the crackling and the burning of the flame itself that spoke to Shadow in the dark place under the earth.
This land was brought up from the depths of the ocean by a diver,
said the fire.
It was spun from its own substance by a spider. It was shat by a raven. It is the body of a fallen father, whose bones are mountains, whose eyes are lakes. This is a land of dreams and fire,
said the flame. The Buffalo Man put the brand back on the fire.
Why are you telling me this stuff? I'm not important. I'm not anything. I was an okay physical trainer, a really lousy small-time crook, and maybe not so good a husband as I thought I was.
He trailed off.
How do I help Laura?
Shadow asked the Buffalo Man.
She wants to be alive again. I said I'd help her. I owe her that.
The Buffalo Man said nothing. He pointed up with his soot-blackened palm facing Shadow, his index finger pointing toward the roof of the cave. Shadow's eyes followed. There was a thin, wintry light coming from a tiny opening far above.
Up there? I'm supposed to go up there?
The dream took him then, the idea becoming the thing itself, and Shadow was crushed into the rock and earth. He was like a mole trying to push through the earth, like a badger climbing through the earth, like a groundhog pushing the earth out of his way, like a bear, but the earth was too hard, too dense, and his breath was coming in gasps, and soon he could go no further, dig and climb no more, and he knew then that he would die, somewhere in the deep place beneath the world. His own strength was not enough. His efforts became weaker. He knew that though his body was riding in a hot bus through cold woods, if he stopped breathing here, beneath the world, he would stop breathing there as well, that even now his breath was coming in shallow, panting gasps. He struggled and he pushed, ever more weakly, each movement using precious air. He was trapped, could go no further, and could not return the way that he had come.
Now, bargain,
said a voice in his mind. It might have been his own voice. He could not tell.
What do I have to bargain with? I have nothing.
He could taste the clay now, thick and mud-gritty in his mouth. He could taste the sharp mineral tang of the rocks that surrounded him.
Except myself. I have myself, don't I?
It seemed as if everything was holding its breath, not just Shadow, but the whole world under the earth, every worm, every crevice, every cavern, holding its breath.
I offer myself.
The response was immediate. The rocks and the earth that had surrounded him began to push down on Shadow, squeezed him so hard that the last ounce of air in his lungs was crushed out of him. The pressure became pain, pushing him on every side, and he felt he was being mashed, a fern becoming coal. He reached the zenith of pain and hung there, cresting, knowing that he could take no more, that no one could take more than this, and at that moment the spasm eased, and Shadow could breathe again. The light above him had grown larger. He was being pushed toward the surface. As the next earth spasm hit, Shadow tried to ride with it. This time he felt himself being pushed upward, the pressure of the earth pushing him out, expelling him, pushing him closer to the light. And then a moment for a breath. The spasms took him and rocked him, each harder, each more painful than the one before it. He rolled and writhed through the earth, and now his face was pushed against the opening, a gap in the rock scarcely larger than the span of his hand, through which a muted gray light came, and air, blessed air. The pain, on that last awful contraction, was impossible to believe as he felt himself being squeezed, crushed, and pushed through that unyielding rock gap, his bones shattering, his flesh becoming something shapeless and snake-like, and as his mouth and ruined head cleared the hole, he began to scream, in fear and pain. He wondered as he screamed whether back in the waking world he was also screaming, if he were screaming in his sleep back on the darkened bus. And as that final spasm ended, Shadow was on the ground, his fingers clutching the red earth, grateful only that the pain was over and he could breathe once more, deep lungfuls of warm evening air. He pulled himself into a sitting position, wiped the earth from his face with his hand, and looked up at the sky. It was twilight, a long purple twilight, and the stars were coming out one by one, stars so much brighter and more vivid than any stars he had ever seen or imagined.